You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is where Wisconsin wakes up. It's Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson. Here are your hosts, Brian and Jamie.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Civic Media Network. It's 6:06 right now, a gorgeous start to your day. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. You caught me mid-yawn, Parker. We should have waited another 3 seconds. Everything would have been great. If you want to get a hold of us this morning, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Jamie, how are you this morning?
I'm fantastic. The sun is shining. It's going to be another gorgeous day. Hopefully get to be outside with the puppers again some more. We do a lot of hiking this time of year.
Yes.
This is how we spend our days, with her head buried in grasses and tree stumps and all sorts of things, weeds. Of course, she carries all that home. It's fine.
Sure, yeah.
But we've
got to check her for ticks and
right.
pull the burrs
that's
off
right.
her.
That's right. This is how we spend our days now, outside, enjoying the weather. She doesn't care if I'm sweating. She's perfectly fine. She's got her bottle of water. She's ready to roll. So that's how you usually find us if you're at our house on any given day this time of year. How about you? Anything exciting happening in your world?
Yes, but nothing
loaded
that
question.
There's a lot going on. This is the big yesterday I had to explain to my mom why she was having to move.
Yeah.
And
that's rough.
It didn't go well, but a lot of people have had those conversations.
Sure.
And then I'm still, one of the dogs is still recovering from a self-inflicted injury.
Have you tried a puppy chiropractor?
Not yet. I have to bring that because the vet was like, it's going to take a little while. I forgot. I actually forgot about the puppy chiropractor. I'm writing it down. I am writing it down, though, right now.
I'm telling you, I know it sounds ridiculous. It really, really does. But it's like people, right? We had a dog at one point. She was part dachshund. And so she was always hurting her back. Didn't matter. She could go downstairs. You know, she could trip over like a line in the hardwood. All of a sudden, she'd throw her back out. And so we took her to a vet, and, you know, they did the same thing. And I love vets for so many reasons, but it's just like people. They started throwing lots of painkillers at her. And then I said to our vet one day, I said, well, I have a really bad back. When my back goes out, nothing really helps until I get to the chiropractor or like a masseuse or whatever.
Yeah.
And she looked at me and she goes, well, you know, there are dog chiropractors. I said, well, no. But 2 weeks ago, I guess if you would have told me this, we could have maybe made some progress.
Well, sure. But if she tells you that, then
right,
she's, you know.
Right. And I'm not picking up prescriptions every other day for the dog.
Uh-huh.
And so it's just like doctors. I get it. And not a lot of people have pet insurance. So I also get that. So we went to the puppy chiropractor, and it has become a staple for our dogs, and for especially our one before Aspen. She had to go pretty regularly, like every other week. Now, Aspen only goes about once every 4 months or so, and that's mostly right. Because she's pretty rough. She likes to run headfirst into things. She likes to skip stairs every now and then. She likes to try to rock climb like a mountain goat when we go on said hikes.
All right.
So about every 3 to 4 months, we go to the puppy chiropractor. She puts her all back into alignment, fixes the neck, fixes the hips, Aspen. Wow. And so that's what we do. And it
all
sounds
right. Well,
ridiculous.
I have written this down. Now I have to do research. At some point next week, I have to do research. I don't have to.
Right,
not this week. Not going to be a fun. I have to ask Frank, because Frank, our executive producer, is house sitting.
Yes.
And I don't know how. Frank, how long are your parents gone that you needed to go and live at their house? Did they leave for months and months, like a European vacation, or just
the
weekend?
And if so, I'm jealous.
No, they left for a week.
Okay.
I'm basically here to watch the pool. I have to run the filter. There's a lot of seeds falling from one of the trees.
Wait a minute. Watch the pool. You're the pool boy?
Yeah, basically.
Who watches the pool on a normal basis?
My parents.
And
they're retired.
I understand, but aren't those things automatic? Like doesn't the filter just run?
No, you have to turn the pump on. You have to turn the pump on.
No timers in your suburb?
No. Not this one.
You're. Okay. Let's be real. You're also there to feed the bunny. Please, please.
I am there to feed the bunny.
Please explain this story because it was the best
bunny.
It was the best photo last night that you sent me that I've ever seen, and I got so excited to see a bun sitting at a picnic table. So
I'm gonna send it in the chat.
So please explain this because it is the most adorable photo for anybody who is listening as well. They're gonna want a little synopsis of this bun sitting at its own personal picnic table because it is very, very pleasant experience.
Look, I've realized that when you retire.
Oh my God.
Wow.
She was not kidding.
Wow. It's not a human pig. It's a bunny-sized picnic table.
It is a bunny-sized picnic table. Yes. It's adorable.
So instead of installing a timer on the pump, your dad built a bunny-sized picnic table?
Basically.
Okay. I'm just trying to get the lay of the land up there.
There's a bunny that visits every day.
Oh, this isn't their bunny.
No.
This is a wild bunny.
I thought you were there because they had a pet rabbit.
No.
This is just some wild bunny.
This is a wild bunny that shows up at 7:30 on the dot every day.
It's because your dad has trained it. You know.
And my dad goes out there and feeds him
on his little
every single day.
On his little bun-sized picnic table.
Yes. So yesterday I go out there.
Did your dad build that for that wild rabbit?
I can't remember if they... Because they do sell these. I can't remember if he... I think they bought this. I think my sister bought this for him as a gag gift.
Oh, so she's encouraging it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then it's become the bunny's
personal table.
Yeah.
Well, look at how happy... Look at the...
Yes.
If you're on the stream, look at how happy that bun is. Oh. He's a fat little bunny, too.
That is a bunny because he gets fed from his picnic table every day.
Yeah, he doesn't have to forage for food. He's got, you know, he's spoiled.
Oh, he's so adorable.
So I go out there yesterday, and it's 7:30, and he's not there.
Oh, uh-oh. Did you panic?
A little bit, because I was like, oh, my God, if this bunny got snatched by a hawk or something, like,
would your dad, while they're gone. Would your dad have been devastated?
He'd be pretty sad. I think he'd be pretty beat up about it.
Would it have been your fault?
Possibly.
did you have pets when you were a kid, Frank? Did you, like, that your dad would miss a pet, or is he just at that
dogs.
Age where he's decided that this bunny is his responsibility now?
I think it's very nice.
I just
or is he just retired and he needs something else to think about?
I think he's retired, and you know he's got a lot of bird feeders back there, which is why I asked Brian if you're at the age where you're watching birds now.
They fly past my eye line, then
is your dad one of those guys who gives you a play-by-play of what the birds are doing?
Yes,
because my mom. I love this woman. She lives in an apartment and she has a dryer vent outside of her apartment. And for the last 2 years, every year around the same time, this little tiny sparrow comes and builds its nest in this dryer vent. And it eventually has the baby birds and you can hear them peeping outside. I have heard tales of this bird for the last 2 years, including the day that one of them fell out of the nest and died on her patio, and the mama bird and chirped at her. She talks to this bird like it's her best friend. The bird sits on her railing of her deck and chirps back at her, and I'm like, you know, we could just get you a real pet, like a small one,
less maintenance.
That's responsibility. Except she can't
dry her clothes or use her dryer because she's afraid she's going to burn up the babies and the mama bird. And then, of course, the dryer vent is essentially clogged for a good portion of the year because there's an entire bird nest in there. But it's fine. Geez. It's okay. But she really does truly love her little mama bird who comes back each and every year. So I kind of get the bunny thing. We haven't gone as far as getting like a bird feeder or anything yet because I don't think she can actually have one on her apartment patio. But at the same time,
skip the bird feeder. A little bunny
picnic table. Yes.
Install it.
Yes.
So I go out there yesterday. It's 7:30.
Yes.
He's not out there because he's usually just sitting there waiting.
Really?
Oh.
Yes, like day
one. So well trained.
Day one, we were sitting outside and I looked over and he's just sitting by the table. And I texted my dad and I said, am I supposed to feed this guy? He's like, of course, he's waiting for his food. And I was like, oh my God, I'm watching Snow White's Cottage.
Oh my, jeez.
So then yesterday he wasn't there and I was like, oh my God, that's
crazy.
What if
a coyote has another table right, just 50 right. yards away and it drags yeah. the bunny over there?
So I got a scoop of the corn or whatever. He feeds it. I put it in there. And I turn around and the bunny's staring at me.
Oh.
Like he was somewhere waiting.
He was hiding and waiting
yeah,
for you.
To see.
But you weren't the same person. So he probably was a little off put. I mean, you know,
right.
let's be realistic.
Yeah, maybe he's just going to wait till your dad comes back.
Yeah. Like he'll come
just
out for your dad. But for mm-hmm. you, he's going to hide until he sees the food. I mean, that would make
yeah.
total sense. Cindy.
Yeah, I wouldn't come out if I saw Frank sitting in the yard waiting for me.
Cindy from Appleton, Texas. And Frank says that your dad is a sweetheart. So
he's something.
is that the adjective
that's a
you
polite
would use?
Term.
Okay. All
how
right.
how long was it before, like when he first noticed, hey, this bunny keeps coming around the yard till he decided to foster this bunny?
I don't know. I think he's been doing it for like a year.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Because I'd be like, we'd get
that's
home.
Wild.
I think one day we got home from like dinner or something because I was staying out here for the weekend. And he's like, went into the garage or something. I said, where are you going? He's like, I got to feed the bunny. I said, what? He's like, yeah, the bunny. Come here. I'll show you.
Bunny, you know.
And then I went out there and he was sitting at his picnic table.
Has he named this bunny?
Yeah, the bunny.
The bunny.
Oh, the bunny.
The
that's
bunny.
It?
Tea bunny.
Tea bunny, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What's up, the bunny?
Now, I will say...
Dad, I love this story. I just... There's so many... We'll have to get your dad on someday.
I don't think we should. I don't need that man on these airwaves.
I need at least one segment to find out what's going on. Maybe a glimpse into my future.
Going to be out there feeding your bunnies, getting
bunny
picnic
I'm not,
tables?
I barely can feed myself in the dark.
Ryan, I'm going to get you a little bunny picnic table.
All right.
I don't know if I've, of all the animals that I have seen wander through this yard, I haven't seen a bunny.
Oh, look at him.
But that picture is hilarious.
Look at him.
He's so happy. He's like the happiest little bud I've ever seen.
Well, all right. We need at 7, when we come back after the 7:30 break, you need to tell us if the bunny is there.
No, 7:30 p.m.
Oh, 7:30 p.m. Oh, he's a late diner.
Oh, he eats
at
night.
He is a late diner.
Oh, okay.
Well, yes,
okay.
Look, I mean, that bunny looks like he can barely hop. I mean, he has been fed.
Why are you body shaming that bunny? Oh, my God. Jamie's taking out years of frustration on this poor bunny. Listen, fatty, what do you?
It's a well-fed rabbit.
It is a very well-fed rabbit. I'm just thinking that he probably only needs one meal a day because he has eaten very, very well in the evenings.
He's well taken care of.
Yes,
yeah, but it's making him slower against the animals that might prey on him. He like rolls out of your dad's yard on his belly with his big bloated gut, and he's like, "Oh, I'm so." And a coyote's like, "What's up, slow pokey?
Hey, buddy."
How you doing?
He is awfully adorable, though.
Very nice. Well, it is Pride Month. We'll talk about how Wisconsin ranks for LGBTQ plus communities after this. This is Daybreak, and it is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Local voices, statewide impact. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
6:22 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Alicia chiming in over on our YouTube chat saying good morning, everyone. Good morning back to you and Alicia and
Alicia.
Everybody listening on the stream, or I should say watching on the stream this morning. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Good to have you with us. If you want to get involved, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. This is Pride Month. Yeah, we were talking about so many other things yesterday. We neglected to say that Pride Month, of course, starts in June. And How does Wisconsin deal with it? Now, I know, you know, Madison, very progressive town. Mm-hmm. Milwaukee, very progressive. It's, you wonder, where does Wisconsin fall as far as safety goes for the LGBTQ plus community? And it's kind of sad that we still have to talk about that, that that's still an issue that we have to think about. Oh, how safe is it? It should be safe all the time, and it shouldn't be a big deal. I mean, I know why it is. I know it because of years and years of oppression and having to live. That's why it's a big deal. But someday maybe we'll get to a point where we can still have Pride Month, but it's not as like dire, and we don't have to worry about the safety part of it. Mm-hmm. That people can just exist,
right,
know, like everybody else. Well, good news though for Wisconsin, we have slowly become more inclusive for the LGBTQ plus community. A lot of states, they're trending the other way, though. So, good. Out Leadership ranked Wisconsin as the 22nd safest state in its 2026 LGBTQ plus State Business Climate Index. It's a report intended for company leaders who seek to incorporate the community in businesses. 22nd's good, right? But that's still middle of the pack.
I was going to say,
it's not as bad
as other states, obviously. But no, it's not great. And I think what I will say is when Tony Evers became governor, I think Wisconsin was probably farther behind a lot of other states. And I think he's done a lot over the course of his 8 years in office to actually raise Wisconsin's ranking, we'll call it. There's always room for improvement. And nearly 6% of Wisconsin residents identify as LGBTQ, at least according to a couple of years ago, and the UCLA's Williams Institute. But there's always room for improvement. Even if you're the number one state on this list, I still think there's probably more that everybody can do to include the LGBTQ community and make sure that there are precautions and safety across the board.
How do you feel about these companies that make it seem like Pride Month is just a money grab, a PR stunt? I understand why, but and not being a member of the community,
right,
it probably is different for me.
Sure.
I'm wondering if it rings hollow, because I do see a lot of posts on social media about people saying, well, you know, May 31st, the company is this, and August 1st.
But that's
1st,
what we do in
July
this country,
1st.
Right? That's what we do in this country. We take a month, or we take a day, or we take a part of history, or we take somebody's life or livelihood or whatever it might be, and we turn it into something that we can profit off of, because we like to do that in this country for numerous things.
You got a profit, Jamie.
Right?
What are you going to do if you're not making profit? You're just sitting around.
And the LGBTQ plus community is no different. So companies have grabbed onto that. They use that as a way to sell merchandise, to make themselves look better. I mean, it's unfortunate that we do that, because these people any group is just trying to live their life, right? They're trying to raise their families, have jobs, and, you know, there's other companies and other people
but
that
they
want
have,
to profit.
You know, just like every other person, they used to have money to spend. Now does anybody have extra money to spend?
No.
I don't care if you're in the LGBTQ plus community or who you are, you're not going to have money.
On a higher note, I saw gas this morning for $3.89 at numerous gas stations on my way in. So just for anybody.
Thanks, Trump.
I was
going to
say,
you.
Anybody in touting the Madison area.
Well, that's all right. I'm sure the war is going to end, even though negotiations bore him. That was the newest quote coming out of the White House.
I get it.
All these top level negotiations bore him.
It's hard to pay attention.
And it's hard to have a peace agreement when you keep blowing each other up. I mean, both sides are doing it. But
anyway,
we digress. Where did Wisconsin score the lowest? Well, in legal and non-discrimination protections. It's one of the two categories in which the report says the state declined. They said Wisconsin, the Out Leadership study said Wisconsin lacks some legal protections, including anti-bullying laws for LGBTQ plus youth. The report also noted Wisconsin has legal punishments for hate crimes against people based on sexual orientation, but not gender identity. So it's a big difference.
Right.
I don't know why we would have one and not the other, but We'll see. They also docked Wisconsin some points for the attempts by Wisconsin lawmakers to pass several bills targeting gender identity in public schools and sports. Most were vetoed by Governor Evers. The Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association, however, did uphold a ban on transgender athletes playing in high school girls' sports. And Wisconsin also declined in health access and safety. The state only fell by a single point, thankfully, largely from major state pediatric hospitals pausing gender-affirming care.
I mean, that's been a big battle in this state, right?
It
has. With the gender-affirming care, you've seen many of the hospital systems come under fire from LGBTQ. There we go.
There's a lot.
There's a lot of letters, but it's early.
I don't mean this offensive. I hope it's not. I don't mean.
No.
It was easier to just say the gay community.
Sure.
And I know there's, I know, I understand all the different groups. I just, for our purposes of having to say those, the acronym a million times, it's just easier. But I understand, and please don't, this was not,
Yes. And my tongue and my brain sometimes don't work together. So it takes me a minute, especially when it's this early in the morning.
And I always forget the plus. I'm not going to lie. I do. I don't know why.
And some places add it and some don't. So, and I never want to be the person who assumes, and I never want to forget anybody in the categories. So,
Well, happy Pride Month.
Yes.
We're not trying to profit off of you.
No.
We're glad you're listening, just like everybody else. We're glad everybody's listening.
We're going to celebrate it right along with you.
But we do celebrate Pride Month. Yeah, definitely. I love Pride Month. All right, when we come back, there is so much more.
Across the state of Wisconsin, Daybreak with Brian and Jamie is back.
6:35 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We do appreciate it. Just over a half hour away until you have another chance to win with our multi-state text-to-win contest. Be listening for the word of the hour and have your Civic Media app ready. Hey, if you were listening yesterday, you know that we ran into a few technical glitches. Those have all been fixed. So no worries today.
Everything's taken care of.
Yes, and Parker, you were actually right. You were actually correct as to why there
was
an issue.
Oh, is that right?
Because really start is a prompt, and it broke the system yesterday.
Oopsies.
So there you go.
All the tech geniuses at this company, and nobody went, you know what? Delete is also not going to be a word.
Stop is probably not one either. But no, it was all fixed. It's all good. And
that's hilarious.
Just one of those things nobody thought of, right? Like you just don't think about it. You're just making lists.
Would never have thought of that until it actually happened.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's all good today. We are good. The contest resumed with no hitches the rest of yesterday. So thank you to everybody.
So fatal error is not our word at seven.
Not.
Okay.
Backslash colon, not going to be. Not going to be.
Backslash colon. All right. Well, good. As long as we've learned our lesson, that's what we have to do.
Right.
And this is now we want your opinion on this. Do you think, like Congress does, that the control of the Congress is going to run through Iowa?
Yeah.
855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. So they're saying, both Republicans and Democrats, that Iowa is going to be one of the key states. But before we get into that, Miss Jamie wants to give a history lesson.
Well,
it's
interesting because Wisconsin and Iowa have some similar demographics and some similar history as far as the politics, right? Both states were built on really strong traditions of farmer-led and working-class populism, with movements that pushed back against the corporations and advocated for everyday people, essentially the middle class. Wisconsin, though, became more known for its progressive reforms, the strong unions, public education, and the legacy of the Wisconsin idea. And we also can thank Bob La Follette for implementing some of that throughout the state of Wisconsin. Iowa, though, their populism is rooted a little bit more heavily in agriculture and the rural communities. And it was during the 1980s, during the farm crisis, that Iowa became a center for progressive pro-farmer politics. Wisconsin, though, stayed a little bit more balanced with the strong labor and the progressive movements while growing a lot of the conservative influence across the state. Over the last decade, though, the two states have obviously taken very dramatic paths. I mean, the last time that Iowa voted for a Democrat Democratic president was for Barack Obama twice. We have not seen them vote, quote-unquote, blue since then. They've shifted firmly Republican. Wisconsin obviously has stayed a little bit more of a swing state, mostly because of research and analysts, way smarter than me, because of the fact that Wisconsin has two urban areas to kind of buoy them into the purple. If Iowa had more than just Des Moines and a couple of pockets, a very small blue voting area, they might be a little bit more of a swing state. But because they don't have the sort of population areas that Wisconsin does, they've firmly tilted red at this state or at this point. But both states actually still embrace populist politics. It just looks a little bit differently from state to state based on, you know, the population of rural versus more urban. And it is actually fascinating that for a very long time, if you look at how Wisconsin voted, Iowa usually followed suit. It hasn't been until within the last probably 10 to 20 years when you've seen Iowa take this sharp right turn, essentially, into politics.
Yeah, and it'd be interesting to find out what the trigger was, where that turning point comes. Because, well, if you look, Grassley's been in office for forever, so it wasn't him, you know. He was there before politics.
He's 93 years old. He will be 93 at the end of this year, and he has been in office since I've been basically 2 years old. I am going to be 48 in October, by the way.
I have been. All right, well, don't put that down. We got it. Jamie's hinting for a birthday present.
I'm not hinting.
We get it.
I'm old, so he's been in office for a really long time because I'm really old. That's the point.
No, and we got. Listen, we get it. We'll have. Don't worry. We'll take care of you, Parker. We'll start booking it now.
Yep,
birthday.
It.
There we go.
A big hootenanny. You there and Frank go. Get on it. Okay. Let me know what I need to do, and we'll have a clown, and we'll have a big bird, big happy birthday bird cake.
There we go.
And all of that stuff.
And then we'll
gerrymander the cake. Instead of giving all the cake to Jamie will just get a little bit of the cake.
There we go.
And we'll get all the cake, and we'll just call it a gerrymandered birthday.
I love it. Then you don't even have to buy the whole cake. You can just buy a piece. It's
that's
fine.
Right. We just buy. You just get a little.
We work on a radio budget here. I know how this works.
You get a cupcake, and we get a cake.
There we go.
Because
there we go.
All the things. We'll make it very, very Jamie-centric.
There we go.
But yeah, Chuck Grassley's been there forever. He came with the corn, so I don't know where Iowa made that flip and what it is. You mentioned it. It's Milwaukee, Madison, and Green Bay, the big urban areas that have kept the balance, because I've always been fascinated by the fact that the Republican Party started here in Wisconsin.
In Ripon,
yes, at the little white white schoolhouse.
Yes,
which I'm fascinated by. The little white schoolhouse.
It's a great little area.
It's very interesting, the history of politics here. But then the state did get more progressive and more Democratic leaning, but then still kept its conservative roots. So they're now nationally, both parties are saying Iowa's where we have to win. And Republicans are campaigning on their record. They say they've delivered tax cuts, conservative policies, border security, and economic growth. I don't know. If you talk to some of the meatpacking places in Iowa, they're probably the border security, not probably as tough as they want to tout. But we don't look there.
No.
We just and note it, not a lot of ice raids.
No, there is not. Plants. There is not a lot of ice raids there.
So, you know, that's fine.
I also find it interesting that Iowa Republicans are really leaning heavily on their loyalty to the president. Now, he remains, I will say this, as you look at the polling that comes out on his popularity, keep in mind that on a national level, he is down to around 34%. But he still has firm Republican support. It is still very high at this stage. Where he is losing drastic support is with the independents. And you are going to need those independents to essentially win any sort of election. But Republicans in general, it wavers poll to poll. Based on the economy, it's still not great. It's not, but it is still really high for what is happening in the country based on things that this president said he would not do as president, and here we are, right? So it's something to keep in mind.
The policies really don't seem to be helping farmers.
No.
I mean, every once in a while he throws them a bone to try to keep them placated, but overall, look at what the farmers are dealing with right now because of the tariffs and the war and everything else. This is not a farmer-friendly economy, just viewing it as an outsider, but talking to Pam Yonke and other people. I'm also surprised that a lot of these Republicans, especially ones who aren't as entrenched, are still hitching their wagon to Donald Trump when you are, as you mentioned, they're trying to court the independents. The independents are the one that they have to hold on to. Well, if the polling numbers and everything else indicates that those independents are drifting further and further away, it would seem, just on a very simplistic basis, a bad move to hitch your wagon to the star. Especially, and now we see things starting to unravel for him, and things are not, you know, he doesn't have the power that he has, and he did not win this war. He took us into a quagmire, and there's so many things that you should be cautious of, I would think.
I would think so, and Democrats are hitching their wagon to the point you just made. That's essentially their point when it comes to Iowa, because what both parties say is that that the Senate, especially with Joni Ernst deciding not to run again, and that seat being open, is essentially what is going to shift the power in the Senate. So Iowa is where everybody is really focused on, which I find fascinating because it has been so solidly red. So obviously, knowing, you know, these parties, they have a lot of information that the rest of us aren't privy to. So they know a little something. They're seeing that there's something there that can be shifted. And I would say that the one district that everybody is watching closely, if you're somebody who loves politics, I know we aren't going to be electing senators in this state. We've got enough of an election on our own between the governor and everything else. But if you're interested in following, you know, how Congress could shift, Iowa is really going to be the race. And it's the second district. They have four districts. The second district of Iowa is really where the focus is for a majority of these parties. But Democrats are bringing it home essentially to the kitchen table issues. They're talking about the inflation, the health care costs, the housing affordability, tariffs. And to your point, what is challenging the farmers? They are really going out and courting the farmers and trying to do a grassroots effort. And it's funny because as I was doing a little research on this, both parties are now establishing firm grassroots door knocking efforts throughout Iowa. That is what is happening. So folks in Iowa, you're going to be the new Wisconsin, essentially, because they are making an effort to essentially flip what's happening in Iowa.
Well, and the governor's race there is one of the biggest things, too, because it's there's no incumbent. This is the chance. And if voters get out and both parties, and this is everywhere, this is not unique to Iowa, we talk about it here, the turnout. You got to get people out, which goes to your door-knocking campaign and getting courting those independents and making people aware of what you actually stand for and what you really want to do. But the governor's race is going to be a big one to watch. If that flips, maybe the whole state's Republican stronghold begins to deteriorate.
Well, and Kim Reynolds has been a governor who has, a lot like what has happened in other states, she has that party together all the time. Mm-hmm. Agree with her, disagree with her. There is no defectors in a Kim Reynolds government. And so I think it's going to be really fascinating to see, because it's essentially, you know, we talk about Wisconsin being a testing ground for a lot of the things that we see happening in the country now. Iowa is now starting to kind of emerge into that a little bit, at least this election cycle. And I know it ebbs, I know it flows, there's always new areas, but it is going to be a fascinating race, especially over the next few months. And I know that right now there are several people vying for that Senate seat for both parties. There's a lot of competition right there. But I think it's going to be who resonates the message the best, right? Can you afford things? How is your grocery bill? How is your gas bill? And I think whoever can get that message out and convince the voters that those policies are actually affecting them, it's going to come down to who is effectively the best messenger. And it reminds me a little bit of 2018 here in Wisconsin, right?
Yeah,
when we were, right. When Scott Walker was running and you had Tony Evers kind of swoop in, people were ready for a change. That's what it's reminding me of just a little bit as we watch the similarities play out.
And it's going to be interesting to me to watch if the allegiance and the backing of Trump stays as strong as it is, or if people start to... If things continue to go badly, they go, you know what, maybe it's time to pull back. Well, Jamie, I know a lot of people have been emailing in. Brian, you and Jamie never talk about polar bears mating. Why is that? Well, we'll fix it after this. It's Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Local news, community stories, and the conversations that matter most. Now, more Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Civic Media Network. It is 6:52 right now. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Parker playing a little romantic bear mating music for this next door. Bears are my spirit animal because they're big and lumbering, and they look very approachable and
yes.
cuddly, and then they will rip your throat out with one swipe of their hand. It's just, don't underestimate a bear. That's the thing. And so I love bears of all sorts, grizzly, brown, polar. And that brings us to the zoo here in Madison. Now, I haven't been to, is it the Henry Vilas Zoo or Vilas?
Vilas.
Mm-hmm. Henry Vilas. Yes. I apologize. I've not been to the Madison Zoo.
It's a lovely little zoo.
I honestly didn't know Madison had a zoo, but
yes.
Now I do. And I also know they have polar bears, so I'm going to get there. And I know these polar bears are getting busy, so now I'm intrigued.
Well, that's what everybody's hoping anyway, right?
Yes. Well, they brought in Seiko. They brought in Nora.
Nora.
She's a female polar bear, and they wanted to know if she'd vibe with Seiko, who was their 16-year-old male polar bear. He came to Madison from Lincoln Park Zoo in Chicago in October. Well, in February, I guess, reports are, and this is creepy, they spent 3 days mating. Parker, can you imagine? Can you imagine?
3 days.
Oh.
3 days, buddy. Come on.
I mean, when you're a polar bear.
72 hours
what else are you gonna do?
Of polar love. You got. First of all, kudos, Sika. 16 years old.
Yeah.
Still getting it done.
It's hard to get romantic when everybody's staring at you and watching out your every move, right? And marking it down and writing
Kids
notes.
Kids are banging on the glass and looking at you. Hey, what are the polar bears doing, Mom?
Oh. Yeah, it's a little hard to be, you know, in the mood and romantic in those
that
moments.
That one sounds like Dad.
But kudos,
so
though.
They're trying to, because Seiko was brought to the zoo, and so was Nora, to procreate.
Yeah.
They needed more bears because there's not a lot of polar bears, and the Vilas Zoo has been working with the Polar Bear Population Alliance, which mm-hmm. is terrific. I didn't realize there's only 35 polar bears at facilities accredited by the Association of Zoos and Aquariums in America. Now, because I'm the Brookfield Zoo in Chicago mm-hmm. has a couple polar bears.
Sure.
We know now you've got three up in Madison. So where are they? That's five right there.
Right. Yes. Gary in Madison chiming in on the conversation this morning on our text line. He says, historically, Madison's Park Zoo has managed one of the highest rates of reproduction in polar bears in captivity in the world. Wow.
Really?
That's fast. I feel like that's a story in itself.
Really. We got to get some behind the scenes.
That's right. But I find this
don't
fascinating.
Look, Parker, don't look up polar bear mating
I
on the work computer.
I am not going to be
just
looking
in
that.
Case.
No.
Going to
no.
get some weird things.
And you mentioned it because the Vilas Zoo actually has three of those 35 bears. Nora, Seiko, and a 27-year-old female named Barrett. And those three are the only polar bears, by the way, in Wisconsin. And you can see them here in Madison. Madison. So
well, I'm going to be up there next week. I may have to take a side trip to the zoo. I love watching the polar bears swim. I
know they're fascinating, aren't they?
It's very calming. It's like look at these giant animals, and they just
yes.
And then I love somebody will always be standing there. You know, their hair is really black. Yeah. Everybody knows that, Johnny Science. We don't need you breaking down polar bear lore for us. So, yeah, polar bears are facing a threat. Mm-hmm. There's the ice caps are melting. Yep. We've all seen these pictures of polar bears like sitting there and everything's melting around them. And so they're trying to increase the population because I don't know where they get the blubber.
From the blubber.
That's part of the reason that because polar bears eat seals to get the blubber, and seals are diminishing. So I don't know where the Vilas Zoo is getting blubber.
There's
so many jokes there, I'm not going to make any of them.
I feel like these are conversations we're going to definitely have to have with the zoo. And I do find this fascinating. I would really love to know more about the fact that they have this reproduction effort at the Vilas Zoo, because this is really cool. But one of the things that's the best about this is now we're tracking Nora's every move, Brian, because now after mating for 3 days straight,
3 days.
Now we're trying to determine whether or not Nora may be pregnant. And they aren't going to know the answer to that question until December, around the time when she would give birth. So nobody has any idea if this polar bear is walking around pregnant or not. Now, polar bears, we're going to get a little science-y here, thanks to the story, but polar bears experience delayed implantation, meaning their pregnancy is relatively short at less than 2 months. And by the time Nora actually gives birth, she would weigh close to 800 pounds. Now, by the time I gave birth, I felt like I weighed close to 800 pounds.
I was going
to
say, at first, I'm sure every woman went, oh, only 2 months. That's great.
That's amazing.
And then I have to weigh 800 pounds. I'll put up with the extra 7 months.
Right. And all of the mama bear fat makes it nearly impossible to use any sort of ultrasound to detect whether or not there is a fetus. And so a newborn cub, just in case you're wondering, would weigh about 1.5 pounds.
So the baby weight's not going to make a big difference for Nora.
No, it's not going to make any. That is crazy. Science is cool, people, first and foremost. Science is really cool. But now I'm enthralled in this. Now I want to know whether or not Nora is going to have a baby.
We need it to be like in Anchorman, the Ron Burgundy story, and we need to be making sure tracking the panda birth. But we're going to track if Nora is pregnant, and then we'll have a baby shower.
Right.
If we find out around Christmas that Nora is, then we'll have a baby shower. We'll send Parker out to slaughter some seals and bring Parker, your job is to carry out our wishes.
You can find some seal blubber.
You can find some. You can get seal meat.
It'll be fine. Yeah.
How hard is it? Go up, talk to some Inuits. They'll give you, barter for it.
And it's Wisconsin in December. The seals just want to come
everywhere.
Here.
There's a lot of blubber
for seals.
A lot of blubber around here. So you could go and find some easily. All right. When we come back, it's the first word of our Accelerate Your Summer Text to Win. So be listening for that and all the stuff you need to know. It's coming up after the news. This is Daybreak on the Civic Media.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.